If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, KBOI News Time 8:39. It is an Open Phones Friday. We will talk about whatever is on your mind today. 208-336-3700. 1-800-529-5264. That's 1-800-529-KBOI. Or #670 on Verizon Wireless. That is a free call. So give us a call, and we'll stick you on, find out what's on your mind today.
David of Boise requested that I read this today because I didn't get a chance to read it yesterday. Okay. He had written in to say, why not tell people how to raise their kids? If you see bad parenting, you should most definitely say something, or how will they know what they are doing is wrong according to our society? I hate to compare to the movie Idiocracy, but it is just too perfect of an example. Don't watch the movie as a spoof like a comedy, but more like a documentary, and it becomes the scariest horror movie ever made. Because from what I can see, we are right on track to that becoming reality, the concept, not the movie. Hmm. Well, after anybody listening to this is gone, hopefully, but it seems inevitable, just like the movie says. I think this movie should be shown in every classroom. Every year a kid is in school in the hopes they will take another path in life. If not, the movie itself, maybe just start teaching the concept of the movie. After all, it is a movie, so you have to read between the lines to understand what I am talking about. Did you ever see the movie Idiocracy?
No. Is that what he's talking about?
I saw it several years ago. Todd says he's seen it, too, that essentially a guy, I can't remember how it happened, but he woke up, he fell asleep for a long period of time or was in a coma or something, and he woke up and it was the future?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did an army experiment where he was in a coma for 500 years and woke
500?
Up.
500?
Oh, yes.
And he woke up, and all of a sudden he was the smartest person in the entire world because everyone else had become incredibly stupid. And so, I mean, immediately he's just in charge of everything because he's the only smart person. And so it just, because basically while he was asleep, the world got stupider and stupider and stupider. And
too bad I missed.
However, that. David, I will say this. I mean, I understand your point, but I still would hesitate to tell other people how to raise their children.
That's,
Because...
get your face punched.
Well, that or, you know, something very similar to it, yes. Mm-hmm.
So, and you get into the, you know, whose business is it mm-hmm. to tell
when it comes to that, I have
other people how to raise their kids.
Right.
They should be raising their own.
Yeah.
And who's to say you're right? Well, see, and that's another thing.
He is. Well, and see, that's
and everybody feels they're right.
That's the point. I can't necessarily prove to you that how I feel about raising children is the correct way.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's a way to work for you.
I suppose I have a more libertarian attitude about it, which is you raise your kids the way you want to raise your kids because they're your kids and your responsibility.
True.
And also, I don't want to get punched.
Well, and there's that interference with people's private lives, too.
Yeah.
I mean, what gives you the right to tell someone else
how
to raise their kids?
To a certain extent, I mean, he would probably answer, well, you know, with some people, it's obvious that they're doing the wrong thing. But
I would agree.
But there again, it's obvious to me, but maybe not to them, and maybe they don't want to be corrected. You know, maybe they're doing it the way they want to.
Quite possibly they don't want to be.
For a reason that I do not now, nor will I ever understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. It's a tough one.
Mind your business is kind of my philosophy.
MYOB.
Mind your own business. Yeah, it's kind of my philosophy on a lot of those things.
I don't know. The news this week has been tabloid-like. It's basically the news this week has been on sexual harassment. harassment by old men against young women.
Yeah, primarily, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rush Limbaugh yesterday was so happy about the Al Franken photo,
mm-hmm.
or photos, I guess there's more than one. It kind of disgusted me.
Yeah. There's a good reason that.
I
think there's
somebody else is a pervert.
I think there's a good reason that not that many stand-up comedians and not that many comic actors and whatnot go into politics. And part of the reason for that is they have done a lot of weird things in their time. Some of them while performing, some of them, you know, as an act,
not everything,
you know, backstage, whatever. And not everything is going to be funny to everybody, but you will always have that on your record that here, you know, I was trying to be funny and no, that's offensive now. Or, you know,
it was working then.
It was probably offensive then. Maybe it was working then. I don't know necessarily, but somehow it went from what he thought was funny to what exactly, you know, anyway, Leanne Tweeden definitely thought was not funny.
Yep. KBOI News Time, 8:45.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
All right. We are back. KBOI News Time, 8:51. It's an open phones Friday. Give us a call, 336-3700. That's 208-336-3700. 1-800-529-KBOI. That's 1-800-529-5264. Or #670 on Verizon Wireless. Let's go to Jim of Boise. Jim.
Morning.
Morning.
Hi, Chris. I loved it when Rick was talking about, bitching about the cost of the video game, and you said, how much is a deck of cards? I mean, that takes me back, and that says it all. Go back to simplicity.
No question.
And with my deck of cards, see, I was never into poker anyway, so. But, you know, you brought up the Al Franken thing and Limbo. And what he was pointing out was the hypocrisy of the Democrats.
Oh, I completely understand it. I really can't get after him for doing it, but it's making me sick.
Me too. But the other thing is, now, what Moore may have done, you know, no doubt would be more serious than what Franken did.
Underage people.
Yeah, and all that. But he's also pointing out it's like a sickness. It's like a plague. It's like a fad. It's like in vogue. When something like this happens, especially when you have social media, all of a sudden everybody gets on the bandwagon. I have a brother who's a lawyer, and I mentioned to him that I had three girlfriends during the 70s and 80s, and what may have been fun is now could be considered rape.
Oh, yeah.
With this hashtag Me Too. So I told him to stand by. So, but it is. I mean, all of a sudden it becomes a phobia, and everybody jumps on the bandwagon.
Where do we go next? Do we go to priests and pastors and?
we've already been there.
I think we have already been there, haven't we? Now that I think about it.
If you want to get into the Catholic Church, good grief.
That's what the movie Spotlight was about.
Yeah,
okay, just bring up the Catholic Church. I mean, that perfectly illustrates what power can do.
Yep.
When you have a priest over an altar boy, you know, and so I don't know, it's become a bit of a sickness. The only other thing I wanted to point out was I got on my bandwagon Tuesday about sports, but now you've noticed, no doubt, that the medical establishment, and I don't want to go to a doctor because I see doctors now as employees of corporations, they have lowered the parameters for high blood pressure from 140 over 90 to 130 over 80. And now, to me, that represents they're just wanting to get more people jacked up on high blood pressure pills. So, you know. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Now everybody's going to have high blood pressure, according to them.
A larger amount of people, for sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, a huge amount.
And so, I mean, I don't think, you know, this is good. So, Anyway, that's all I had to say, and I'll give a hint to any male that wants to keep his maleness, keep away from females. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Of course, that can be taken a lot of ways,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, good. Oh, man.
Mike of Boise.
Let's take Robert here real quick, and then we'll take a break and come back.
We got about a minute, Robert.
Yep. Robert, you got a minute?
Hey, I remember back in the day when you guys were the music of yesterday and today, and one of my favorite DJs was Lon Dunn. Now, he retired a long time ago. Whatever happened to that guy? You know?
He's living up in Puget Sound now. I talked to him a couple times a month. He's doing okay. He's retired. I think he might end up back here in the next several months, in the next 6 months or so.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean,
he's still alive, still doing good.
Listen to you guys for years and years, and then you went to talk radio.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
I feel your pain. Thanks, Robert.
Yesterday we were talking about how to talk about politics, or whether you talk about politics at the Thanksgiving get-together or the table. And Micah Boyce, he says, guys, our family used to avoid politics. That was until it became clear that President Trump was and is not qualified to govern the country. Congress, or himself for that matter. Now we spend time laughing sadly about him, but not the issues. So Mike and family,
well, they found
at
a
least,
way to control
it. At least they have that in common, but they are not Trump fans for sure.
No. Amazing.
I mean, if you have a family where everybody believes exactly the same thing as you.
We had a guy call, though, and say we agree on everything, yeah, and we still fight.
But you've got something rare there. It's 8:56. More Idaho Talks Live. Open phones to come.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Well, take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
KBOI at news time, 9:06. Got my... I am all tangled up here.
Well, your headphones are.
Yeah. I'm okay.
You're relatively fine.
Let's go to Mike of Boise. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Little different topic today.
Sure.
And I'm sure probably you two have noticed it, but I can't even watch national news anymore because it's all they do is beat up on President Trump.
I hear you.
Have you noticed that local news and all three stations, and I know a lot of the reporters there, good people, but somehow the news directors need to figure out what is breaking news, because like one channel last night, breaking news at 10 o'clock, nursing home fire in Pennsylvania. What is that, local news?
No, not to my knowledge.
And they all seem to do it. A couple weeks ago, breaking news, and the line was shooting in school, and I'm drilled to that, but it's a school somewhere back east.
Yeah. Mm.
And I just wonder what happened, and Paul J., you've been around long enough in the news, what happened to local news?
You know what? Here's the deal. They don't have the money they used to have. When I was in television news, and I was in TV news for 10 years, I worked at Channel 2 here.
Right.
And we must have had 8 reporters, I think. And now I think they have maybe half that many. And a lot of them are very young. And so I think part of the problem is an economic one. And it's not only a TV problem, but a newspaper problem, radio problem. People can't afford to pay staff anymore. And I think if you don't have people working as reporters, then there's no way to train reporters coming up. So the young ones that you have no idea how to enterprise stories. And basically, they have to see the building on fire before, you know, they do the story.
Yeah, and it's and I agree with that analysis that they all have cut back, but it seems that some news directors could get on top of that more.
Yes.
And the other thing that it just infuriates me is when they talk about, well, the individual passed away after being killed by a drunk driver. Huh? I don't, or the individual passed away after being shot five times. I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's maybe they're trying to be that. I don't know if that's politically correct or softer, but it's sure, you know, your grandmother passes away.
Yeah, and somebody is shot to death.
Yeah, it doesn't pass away. But anyway, I just last night, one of the news stations again, breaking news, and I thought, what the heck's going on? But that's my three cents for today.
Mike, I'll tell you, like just about any industry anymore, most of the decisions are made by executives with help from accountants, and that's about as far as it goes.
Yeah,
it doesn't trickle up as much as it used to.
And one of my big complaints, and radio does this too, is when they interject themselves into the story. They'll do a story about a family who lost their home in a flood or something like that, and then they'll go to the PayPal account on our webpage, KTVB.com or KBOI.com or KIVI.com. Go to our webpage, you know, and it drives me insane, and give money.
And then you get the anchor that said, oh, this is just a terrible situation. Yeah. Wait a minute, don't interject it. Report the news.
Exactly.
But like I said, you've been around long enough. I've been around long enough, unfortunately, that we know the difference of all this. So anyway, that's my two cents for the day.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
The old line used to be, I'm sad he's dead. Your opinion may vary.
Yeah.
Mark of Meridian says, we were talking to him yesterday about, you know, what can you talk about and what can't you talk about at the Thanksgiving table? And how do you avoid talking about politics? Do you avoid talking about politics? You know, what's it like in your family or with your friends or whatever? And a lot of people said, you know, they've lost friends. They've stopped talking to relatives simply because of politics, because you can't necessarily have differences without getting heated about it. And when you get heated, you say things that are difficult to take back.
Yeah, it becomes personal.
Mark of Meridian says religion is politics by other means. Frankly, we are not going to make a difference in the long run anyhow. Well, and that's a bit of a defeatist attitude, I think, with politics, because the whole point of it is that people can make a difference. But if you think that maybe like just your one vote or something like that,
people can't make a difference. You're crazy.
Or just your voice can't make a difference. Then, you know, perhaps it never will.
You know, you and your whole family are crazy.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. See, that's how it starts.
Yeah. That's also how it ends with me. I mean, you know, we have potatoes to eat. I'm not leaving this table.
Yeah. I'm sticking it out to the pumpkin pie.
As soon as
and you can't stop.
As soon as the food is all gone, I'll be glad to argue with you.
Let's go to Kevin of Meridian. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Paul, Jay, and Chris. I hope you guys have a great weekend also.
Thank you.
I'm calling, Paul Jay, you've known me for many, many years.
Yep.
I'm calling about Mr. Custer resigning and how that affected the Boise State Wrestling Program. A lot of people say, who cares? I care. 19,000 people cared that signed our petition. When I first heard this resignation, part of me, it was conflictedly, objectively, I thought about it, you know, because he's done a lot of good things for the school, a lot of growth, a lot of technology growth. But then this silly decision that he made a year ago that totally made it personal to me.
Mm-hmm. And what have you heard about that? Anything?
Yes and no. It depends on rumors. I don't want to spread rumors or anything. I just know this. He went into a meeting with Senators Hagedorn and Winder and told them blanketly, said, this is not going to change my decision, and I suggest you two take this up with the new president in 3 years. Well, 1 year later, he's gone. So that tells me something right there. But the main thing is this. He made this personal. He never should have. You know, the wrestling community is very, very passionate people.
Yep.
And when he made it personal, that put it over the line. You know, he refused to meet with us once, not even once. He would, all the while he was meeting with Boise Hawks representatives. And for him to make these decisions without feedback from other people. And, you know, that's one thing I keep telling people is if he would have just sat down with the wrestling community and said, hey, guys, what can we do here? I want to get a win-win out of this. What can we do? Let's try to fix this. He refused that. He refused all meetings.
What advice are you going to give to the pro wrestling people, the people who would like to...
In favor of wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling. Who are in favor of it. Yeah, not pro wrestling. But, you know.
I when he first said that, I go, what?
Yeah. Not pro wrestling, but people who are pro wrestling.
Yes.
Well, what is your advice to them over the course of, you know, choosing a new president for Boise State?
We've already been working on that a little bit behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. But you said it just a few minutes ago about one person, one voice. It's been a lot of people, a lot of voices here. It's just, you know, the Statesman has done no articles whatsoever interviewing the coaches, the wrestlers, the community supporters. But they, I give them this, they have put out information about the cost of bringing in baseball. And I'm not anti-baseball, and I know you love baseball. I know Nate Shellman loves baseball. I know that. We wanted a way to have a win-win where baseball, wrestling, both could have been there. That was proposed to Mr. Pestra, and he turned it down. So I think he dug his own grave with that. And then interesting, you know, when they started getting involved with the Boise Park downtown, it's interesting then because a lot of money people started voicing their concern. Gary Michaels, Albertson started voicing his concern. Then things started happening a lot more then. And I just think it's coincidental that this decision was made just the other day. It's very interesting.
Yeah. All right, and, good stuff.
Okay. Thank you very much for the time to speak on the show.
Thanks, Kevin. And keep in touch. Let us know what's going on.
I will. Oh, excuse me. I'm sending Nate Shellman an email today. Please make sure he reads it.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
I'll tell him. Bye-bye. Thanks.
I think we can suggest it. KBOI News Time 9:16. We'll be back with more.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back, KBOI News Time. 9:21. We got Mark of Eagle on the line. Let's go to Mark. Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I know we've seen an onslaught of especially Californians coming in here to buy up and flee California from the type of government they've got down there they've been dealing with, but I expect another wave because if you look at the U.S. Geological Survey's website, something that's been going on in an area on the San Andreas Fault for the past several months, and it's accelerated. From south of Watsonville, Gilroy area, where they have the Gilroy Garlic Festival.
Yeah, right. Love that.
There's a large stretch there of the San Andreas Fault. It's not an isolated area that has been going off. They had like a 4.6 early in the week, I think it was, but a number of other twos and threes thereafter, and they are continuing. Even Dredge had it on his site there, too. So that area, if I recall correctly, and what I remember back in 1906, that same area was where it ruptured back in the 06 earthquake, continued northward out towards Petaluma, where I lived, through San Francisco, Petaluma, and Tamales Bay, and out where it ended up out in Bodega Bay out there. So be prepared. I mean, they could be. We could see another wave of people fleeing California because that's the what's going on there. It's in, like I said, it's not in a 5-10 mile length of the fault. It's a lot longer stretched out fault.
Now there are areas there where you can I mean, if you're in an airplane, you can see the fault.
Oh, yeah, Carrizo plane.
Right.
Yeah, the Carrizo plane is one. And what's interesting is that part of the fault line, scientists have said that the type of rock underneath that fault system, of the San Andreas fault there, allows it to smoothly slide past. But when it slides easier and doesn't release big earthquakes, it also puts that pressure further up the fault system going north. Now, what I wanted to do is I wanted you guys to go to the Watchers website, if you can, and anybody out there, including Rich, who has mocked me. Now, we've discussed this over and over, Paul. We've kind of argued it over the years about whether the government is spraying things in our sky. There's a very interesting article. It's the second one on there. It was their top article yesterday on the Watchers website about the spraying of aerosols to mimic volcanic eruptions to keep the planet cooler because of so-called global warming, which it is warming, but it talks about as if scientists have proposed it, and the detriment that it might cause in cooling one area could have a disastrous effect on changing the weather in another part of the world. But here's the thing. I've always said, because of the websites I've seen, especially at geoengineeringwatch.com, they've almost had like 30 million hits on that site alone, and the wealth of information about the government doing this already. And if you go and folks, and Google Freedom of Information Act, U.S. Army biological test on U.S. citizens, you will see a wealth of information of how the Army, U.S. Army through the Department of Defense, had tested stuff which came out. A lot of people aren't know this by now. Back in the 50s, 60s, in airports, subways, had tested biological weapons on U.S. citizens without their knowledge. So I'm saying that this has been going on for quite a while, and just like people I've known who have worked in the intelligence community and special operations from Vietnam, I've known ex-SEALs, they have said that what the U.S. citizens don't know is that a lot of the technology and what they use out there in their operations have been out there for years before the U.S. populace knows about it, sort of like the stealth bomber. I mean, this stuff has developed. It's been out there, and we don't know about it till later. So I'm saying this has been going on for a long time under our noses, but because our mainstream media won't talk about it out there, doesn't show up in your Idaho Statesman, doesn't mean it hasn't been going on for a long time. So, but watch for a big earthquake on that area of the fault. It could be coming soon, guys. You have a good weekend, and go Broncos.
All right. Thanks, Mark. I just read that whole article in the time he was talking there.
Yeah.
About aerosols to cool off the...
I use a stick. It's 9:26.
Stick.
We'll be back.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
All right, so we are back. KBOI News Time, 9:37, neglected to mention the KBOI rewards code. Falcon. That's who we're playing this weekend, the Air Force Falcons. F-A-L-C-O-N-S. Falcons.
Well, the word is just singular, though. So
Falcon.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you...
And no, it's not an adjective.
As long as you get the first six letters right, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
April of Boise, this is kind of interesting. She says, is this sexist or non-representative? And she's referenced an article here very quickly. It says, Los Angeles, with its tolerant culture, mid-century architectural style, and lively art scene, Palm Springs has for decades been a mecca for the LGBTQ community. The city is ranked first in California and third in the nation among cities with the most same-sex couples per 1,000 households.
Really?
According to an analysis of U.S. Census data by the Williams Institute at the UCLA School of Law. But now the city is marking a new milestone in gay politics as well. When the two new members of the Palm Springs City Council are sworn in next month, every person on the panel will be a member of the LGBTQ community.
Really?
And how April asked this was, is this sexist or is this non-representative? I don't think you could necessarily call it non-representative. Now, I'm a white male and straight and Christian and all sorts of things like that. But if I am a U.S. senator, it is my job to represent everybody in the state of Idaho. and it doesn't matter what
your
you are.
Your constituency, for
yeah,
sure.
And I represent you. So it just like if I'm represented by a black woman, she represents my interests as well as her own.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily just because she's a woman or because she's black or whatever. And so I think that everybody who is a part of a city council or a county commission or, you know, a state legislature or Congress, they have a bit of a responsibility not just to represent the people that they think voted for them, but also the rest of the state as well. And the way Americans vote, quite often the number of people who voted you into office, you know, can be as little as maybe 12% of the people.
Yep, exactly right. And, I mean, that can even divided down to political parties.
Yeah. Now, I know there are people.
A Republican representing a Democrat.
There are people who vote that way. You know, sure. Somebody might say, well, you know, I'm just going to vote for the oldest white guy because I'm an old white guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or any other group you happen to be part of. You know, yeah. I'm going to vote for the gay guy. I'm going to vote for the,
black guy.
Hispanic guy. You know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, you ought to go according to issues and whatnot. To, you know, what's important to you and your life, because not everybody is a stereotype and can be pigeonholed that easily.
True. Let's go to Randy of Boise on an open phones Friday. Randy.
Yes. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I didn't get in yesterday, but, you know, talking about what dinner table conversation at Thanksgiving.
Yep.
And two things. One, I think the problem with discussing politics is the relative absence of truth and balance in anything that anybody hears.
True.
So it's very difficult to have a conversation when there's not, there's a lot of stuff missing in the issues being discussed. But I think separate from that, one thing that can be, and I often discussed, I guess, in our home is culture and what's happening to you. Just the thing about Palm Springs and the whole thing was a cultural fact. And we do discuss that as far as what we see and what it might mean, and et cetera. And I think that's one of the powers that Rush has had for 30 years, that he was on the leading edge of cultural change and making people aware of where things were going and what things were happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I agree with that. That would prevent arguments in your family?
Well, I don't know about argument. It certainly would be some different views on
sure.
it, but it is... It's less of a black and white issue, I guess, like a lot of politics become. And I think that all of us have, most of the people at our table would have children or grandchildren, and they're concerned about the culture that their kids are growing up in and the things that, you know, the old white guys saw and believed and experienced in their childhood and their adulthood and the fact that those things are no longer existent or no longer appropriate. And those kinds of issues, culture does have a lot of effect, certainly in the school system and the rest. And I think that it's a concern, and it's more of a concern and an issue to be discussed than some of the other things.
Yeah, and I agree. From my parents' political views to my political views to my daughter's political views, wow. I mean, we're talking major changes. Major.
Yeah, for the most part, the thing is, if we were to talk about stuff from our childhood, they'd say, what planet were you born on?
Exactly, exactly. And when you think down the road toward the present, from when we were kids, there's no way we could have imagined the cultural things that are going on now. No way.
Yeah.
No way.
And it does make a difference in people's lives.
It sure does. Thanks, Randy.
Thank you.
That's an interesting call and true.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how you can discuss culture, though, without, you know, because we do have a political culture.
And climate and whatever.
I mean, everything kind of relates when you're talking about philosophy or culture or anything that you attribute to. The nation as a whole or the state or society and in any statement that you make like that. And the thing about talking about facts and truth. Now, for instance, like you and I are very much into sports and facts are an interesting thing in sports. Like, for instance, I can tell you that you know, the guy that won the MVP for the Houston Astros last night. I can tell you that he hit 345 this year.
Yeah,
Altuve, Jose Altuve. He hit 345 this year. I can look that up, and I can tell you that that's
there
a fact.
There it is in black and white.
Now, somebody can say, well, he's the best second baseman in the league. That's a fact. And I said, no, that's your opinion. And I can tell you this also, that, you know, having worked in newspaper and radio, you can send out 8 different reporters to the same story and tell them to come back with nothing but facts, and they will come back with different facts. Simply because a lot of facts, or what are considered to be facts by some people, is this good or is this bad? Okay.
Well, what did Altuve hit?
The 345.
What did he hit with men on and less than 2 outs? What did he hit with runners and scoring?
Yeah, we can look up all of that.
Yeah, you can look up, and all of a sudden the batting average of 245 becomes, wow, he didn't hit nearly as good, or he hit way better than all the other second basemen with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
And then it keeps building and building. That's where we are today.
Like, for instance, the guy that won the National League, MVP. He only hit 281, which is considerably a lower batting average than most people, but he also drove in 132 runs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to tell you the truth, runs are a little bit more important to a team because that's how you win a game.
That's right.
You can get 200 hits, and if you get them with nobody on base,
can argue over anything.
Yeah, exactly. But you can argue about that. But how important is one fact over another? You know, is it more important that the house was on fire, or that the house was blue, or that the house was owned by a Republican? I mean, which one is important? And so you can send out a bunch of different reporters, and they can come back with different stuff. And you've judged.
Oh yeah.
You've judged the state high school journalism conference and stuff like
you.
That. Yeah, exactly.
Yep, I judged you.
Well, as a matter of fact, and I won. Thank you very much. But, I mean, you didn't know me at the time.
No, I didn't.
In fact, I think that's the first place we ever met was Sun Valley when I was a senior in high school. But you have to figure out what you think is important about the story, and then you report the facts that you find important and the facts that you find to be relevant. And journalism is a lot more difficult than people think when it comes to deciding, you know, like, what is the main part of the story here? Is the main part of the story that Trump said this or that Hillary did that? You know, and they can both be a story.
Yep, exactly. It's amazing. All right, we need to take a break.
All righty.
9:46.
You are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:50. Got Pro-Life on the line. Let's go to him. Pro, good morning.
Pro, are you there, Pro-Life?
Is he turned up? Oh, Pro. I hear you.
Yeah. Hey, let me hang up my radio. Hey, just a second.
Okay. So he was on the 12-second delay.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I was listening to the radio, and I had you on my cell phone. But anyway, what I want to talk about is these people that are accusing people of sexual indiscrimination, sexual crime, sexual harassment.
Sure.
There's really no, in our culture, if somebody's lying and accuses somebody wrongfully, then those people don't really get punished. And if the person denies that there's a sexual indiscretion, but there really is, they don't get punished. Nobody's punished for lying. And I think that if our founding fathers could do over again, they'd do better to put the Ten Commandments in the Constitution and have lying as a real serious crime. Because when people are able to get away with lying and without punishment, then we really a society that we do today.
And you're absolutely right. It's not against the law unless you're under oath in court or before Congress. And if you're not under oath, apparently you're allowed to say whatever you want.
Right. And I believe that that is a very serious flaw and sickness in our whole culture.
It's a hard thing to prove, though.
Yeah.
You're lying. I mean, no, I'm not.
People always ask me that question. What do you think about, you know, this guy being accused of this and this being accused of that? And I can say, I'll tell you exactly what I would tell you in court if I were a witness. I wasn't there. I didn't see it happen.
Right. But, you know, if somebody tells one of their friends, hey, watch, I'm going to go over here and lie and talk this person out of whatever, you know, get into this situation by lying, and then that comes to light, well, I think that person needs to be punished because they obviously knew they were lying.
True.
So anyway,
the liar.
Yeah.
And often, I mean, you know, they get tripped up a lot of times because
they can't
remember exactly what they said. Whereas if you did something for real,
yeah,
you know what
there happened. There are certain kinds of lying, like swindling people out of their money and things like that. But again, you kind of have to go to court and figure out, you know, what they did and didn't do wrong.
Right, but I think that you should be able to be punished in the right kind of society for lying through politics. You believe something, but you say another thing to get elected, and then you go back to what you really believe. I think that's lying.
I don't think we have enough jails.
Yeah,
no, we don't.
Yeah, I wonder if what you're suggesting would prevent or cut down on lying at all.
Oh, yeah, of course it would.
You think?
Or it would just force us to create an enormous penal colonies.
No, if people are punished, they reform their ideas. But the problem is now, you know, parents don't hold their children to account for lying, and teachers at school, you don't get a bad grade for lying. We used to have what was called deportment on our report cards when I was a kid.
That.
And if you lied, the teacher would get a bad grade for deportment.
Yeah, we had conduct, but that was about it.
Yeah. Amazing.
Well, hey, that's all right. God bless you guys.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks, bro. Interesting.
Yeah. People
just basically aren't very honest.
But like, for instance, I can say, I'm selling shoes. Are these good shoes? And yes, in fact, they're the best shoes you can possibly get, in my opinion. Well, did I lie or did I just give you?
No, you gave me your opinion.
Well, okay, but what? What if you can empirically prove that other shoes are better? That's why we have people who take other people.
You still allowed your opinion.
Yeah, that's true. That's why we have people who take other people to court, though, all the time.
That's true. That is true. It's amazing.
David, again, a Boise, he says, thanks for reading my message. That's what I mean by the way society wants our kids raised a certain way, not me alone. I will and have lectured the parents right along with the kids. Some may briefly try to get physical, but I won't back down from what I think is right. And I am no wimp, let's just say. It has I've never gone as far as getting into a fight. And he goes on a little further, but he says, I think there is a lot to learn from that as a civilized society. It takes a village to raise the young or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that'll do it for today. We'll see you next week.